This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
My brain, eyeballs turning white, grabbing my tallywhacker all the time. I look her in the eye and I say, baby, 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 please. Yeah, baby, you got some ID. Some I won't. I want to put my face in a special place.
Award-winning, best-selling author Jim Hightower is described as America's most popular populist. He's releasing his book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, live and in person at Landmark's River Oaks Theater in a benefit for KPFT on Wednesday, March 19th at 7 p.m. To purchase tickets, visit kpft.org or call us at 713-526-4000. Prices are $10 in advance, $15 at the door, $5 for students with photo ID. Also, if you'd like a chance to speak with Jim personally, $150 will get you entrance to a private meet and greet event with Jim running from 6 to 7 p.m. just before the evening's activities, and that includes an autographed book, appetizers, and preferred seating at the book reading. River Oaks Theater is wheelchair accessible. This event is a fundraiser for KPFT Houston. Y'all come.
First Church is proud to announce the personal appearance of Leonard J. Pitts, Jr., Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist and author who will be speaking in Houston on Saturday, March 29th. Pitts writes for the Miami Herald, and his columns appear in the Star section of the Houston Chronicle every Monday. He expresses a very progressive attitude towards many subjects, such as social justice, equality, and politics. In partnership with St. Paul's United Methodist Church, this event is being presented as a major fundraising effort for First Church and is supported by the Church's Adult Programs Committee. More information regarding time, location, and ticket sales are online at firstuu.org. If you are unfamiliar with Leonard J. Pitts' writings, you may enjoy his column every Monday in the Houston Chronicle Star section or online at miamiherald.com. Call 713-526-5200 or visit firstuu for more information. KPFT, Houston.
Hello, darling. It's nice to see you. It's been a long time. You're still the woman that you used to be. How's your new love? Are you happy? I hope you're doing fine. Just to know it means so much to me. What's that, darling? How am I doing? I guess I'm doing all right, except I can't sleep and I cry all night till dawn.
This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and tonight I'm bringing you the last show in my three-part series on gay country music. I started out a month ago with the history of gay country music, part one, and then slipped in an extra show 2 weeks ago tracing homophobia in country music. You know, those songs by straight artists who just love to make gay people the butt of their very stereotypical jokes. You can hear those two shows at my site, at www.queermusicheritage.com. And some folks also like to go to my site while they're listening, so they can follow the playlist and see photos of the artists and recordings as they hear me talk about them. And what I'm talking about tonight is part two of the history. On this show, I'm going to continue where I left off, around the mid-90s, and bring you up to date, trying to share with you as many as I can of the recent country recordings by gay and lesbian artists. I opened the show with the country classic, Hello Darlin', but of course, that was not Conway Twitty. This time around, it was done by Gretchen Phillips and appeared on her 1998 album, Songs to Save Your Soul. She's become one of our musical heroes thanks to her wide influence as a member of a number of different bands, like Two Nice Girls, Girls in the Nose, Lord Douglas Phillips, the Gretchen Phillips Experience, and her solo work. While in Two Nice Girls, she wrote the marvelous I Spent My Last $10 on Birth Control and Beer, which you heard on this show last month. The style of her music can certainly vary, but there's always been a healthy sprinkling of country. I'm going to share with you a lot of different artists tonight, and this will be mainly from the last 10 to 12 years. To squeeze in as many as possible, you'll mostly hear clips of the songs, but I think enough to whet your appetites. And we'll make time for some special interview comments by some of my favorites, like Jeff Miller, Mark Weigel, and a couple of others. And as I said on my first show, country music covers a lot of ground, and I want to be as inclusive as possible, so not everyone is going to sound like Dwight Yoakam or Tammy Wynette. Next, I'm going to pair up two artists not really known for country music, but they sure know how to make good country music when they want. And I know they won't mind being paired up, as they are good friends. First is Jamie Anderson with her musical question, Wynonna, Why Not? And she'll be followed by Lisa Koch and Down at the Timberline.
It's a girl's night out, have mercy on me. Who is that handsome woman I see? Standing there so sure and strong, looking for love in a country song. Why not me? Why not me? I'm the lesbian next door, baby.
Day is starting on my weekend. Cold winter night, up in the car, taking me away to my favorite two-step bar. Two-step bar. Holiday night. Christmas is a-coming and everybody's letting off steam. I got my boots and my best blue jeans. Looking for a prince or maybe looking for a queen. Big old queen.
You.
That's right.
I'm a real man.
Dancing to the beat of our own drum. Buffalo gals, won't you come out tonight? Have a little fun. Kick up your heels and two-step with someone. It's a boy meeting boy kind of girl, touching girls on a night at the Timberline.
That was Jamie Anderson with Wynonna, Why Not? From the 1993 album, Bad Hair Day. And Lisa Koch from her album called, Are You Ready? You Make My Pants Pound. Now that album from 1996 has several excellent country-flavored songs that I really like, and I can't resist sharing one more with you. I asked her about the title track, You Make My Pants Pound.
You Make My Pants Pound was... Gosh, I wrote that. I had an upcoming concert in Seattle, and I wanted a new song. And I just sat down and wrote Pants Pound for some odd reason. I don't know what the, you know, what the stimulation was. Oh, I remember. Gosh, a friend of mine, it was a woman that I dated years ago. That was one of her sayings, was she'd talk about, somebody would walk by, and she'd say, oh, my pants are pounding. And I remember it always cracked me up. I thought, someday I have to work it into a song.
The night I met you, it was midnight. The drive-up window had a light. I heard your voice come through the speaker. You said, can I take your order? How about some fries? I got a tingling in my body. I drove up to the window like a
shot. And as you handed me that whopper, you touched my hand and smiled and you said, careful now, it's hot. You make my pants pound. I must admit, it's tingling in my pelvis and it's throbbing in my heart. You make my and all my fluids over you.
Lisa Koch and You Make My Pants Pound. At the women's festivals in the mid-90s, one of the country band crowd pleasers was a group called Ranch Romance. They released three albums, and from their 1993 CD, Flip City, here's a bit of She Must Be Obeyed.
She doesn't mess around.
She always draws a line.
Don't want the pain to tell.
She doesn't have the time.
Won't ever change the blame.
I've never liked you too.
Don't need to play the game.
And then you're gonna lose.
She's the one who always wondering her. When she's done, you know you have the very last word. And there's need to be afraid. She must be obeyed. She must be obeyed.
Ranch Romance was founded by Joe Miller, who wrote most of their material. She went on to a solo career and in 1995 got together with Laura Love to record an album called, simply enough, Joe Miller and Laura Love Sing Bluegrass and Old Time Music. Here's a medley I put together of three songs from that album.
There was mother and dear old dad. When I left on a mountain sad. So I'm going back to that dear old shack.
Another duo with that old-time feeling is made up of Robin Flower and Libby McLaren. Now, I played a song from 1979 by Robin Flower on part one of the History Show. And other than Gretchen Phillips, she'll be the only artist to appear on both shows. And that's because, well, she's been making good music for over 25 years. Some of her early material had more of a bluegrass flavor, and some is very pop. But for this show, of course, I picked one that's very country. From the album Angel of Change, here's My Darling Doesn't Live Here Anymore.
My darling doesn't live here anymore. Though your old torn shirt is hanging there behind the bedroom door. And it's hard to tell our old friends when anymore.
Okay, so far I've been neglecting the male artists. Can't have that. So let's go on to one of my favorites, Mark Islam. He released his third album in 2001 called The Fine Print, and from it is That Restless Feeling.
I've got that restless feeling again. Sometimes I get like this. I don't know why, from time to time, walls start moving in.
One of the perks of producing a show like this is that you become friends with many of the artists, and I'm pleased to include Mark Islam among them, and also the talented artist with whom he wrote that song, Marcus Hutchison, who also sings backup on it. One of the more obscure openly gay country recordings was by an Arizona artist named Steve Lynn. He had only one release, and it was really more of a maxi single with just four tracks. But he was right on point lyrically, as he blatantly called his album, Steve Lynn Sings Gay Country. From it, here's one called, Don't Be So Quick to Judge Me.
You tell me that my soul is damned. I'm on a fast track, bound for hell. You've got all the answers, and you'll be kind enough to help. Well, thank you, but no thank you. I didn't ask to be this way, but I've accepted how God made me, and I refuse to be ashamed. Don't be so quick to judge me. You know God says that's not your place. And when you feel the need to fix someone, look your mirror in the face. You may not understand me, but that's okay, 'cause I don't you. And I hope you never feel the pain that's caused by folks like you. Yes, I heard you, Mr. Preacher Man, but I think you're incorrect. I don't agree with what you said, but you still got my respect. So live your life the way you will, the way you think is best. But understand your words can kill, so give your narrow mind a rest. Don't be so quick to judge me. You know God says that's not your place. And when you feel the need to fix someone, look your mirror in the face. You may not understand me, but that's okay, 'cause I don't you. And I hope you never feel the pain that's caused by folks like you. And I hope you never feel the pain that's caused by folks like you.
Steve Lynn's song was from 1994. A bit of a song called Cowboy and Drag by an artist just identified on the CD as Dale. Now, I know nothing about him except that in 2002 he sent me his CD containing just two tracks. As my internet searches didn't find a mention of him, I guess he and his Cowboy and Drag rode off into the sunset. Next up is another message song, this time from Steven Gelman. It's from his album from 2000 called Return to Summer Lake, and the song is called Just Like You.
That different, we're both good at work, we both pay bills and we shop at the local grocery store.
back of the movies, or get in the car and take a ride to Baltimore. Now I don't know why you think this life I lead is strange, when everything I do, you do just about the same.
The material by New England artist Lynn Deaves is generally more folk-oriented, but from her 1998 album, Soul Food, I just love this very country, Some of My Best Friends.
Friends of mine walk down the aisle, exchange their wedding vows. I've always kept an open mind, especially here and now.
Some of My Best Friends by Lynn Deaves. This next song always makes me smile because, frankly, it's one of my favorite openly gay country songs. But at the same time, it always makes me sad for a very different reason. The artist is David Alan Moores, and I'm sad because here's an example of a very promising career that didn't get off the ground. In 1999, Moores recorded what I consider a wonderful CD called Where I'm Free, and copies were sent out mainly to radio people. It got some very favorable response, but then he just didn't release the album. You couldn't buy it, even on the internet. It just disappeared. I was in touch with him by email for about the next 2 years, and it boiled down to money. It takes a lot of it to produce and then market an album, and the project just sort of died on the vine. So sad. I sure hope he resurfaces in the future to pick up his singing career. But until then, I'm glad I have his album, Where I'm Free, and especially his song, Someone to Kiss.
Don't want no missing, don't tell me lies. Looking for a lover who will make me sigh. Don't want no crazy, hasty rendezvous. There's just one thing I wanna do with you. Pretending your love is true. Don't pay your rent and all I have with you. That ain't the kind of desire I'm going through. There's just one thing I want. I'm
funny thing about Keep Your Blue Jeans On is I had the song put together as far as lyrics and vocal melody, but I wasn't quite sure what style I wanted to do it in. So I went out to Nashville, still not sure, and I took it to those guys, and I was really pleased because they all came together and came up with an idea right on the spot, and I was so thrilled with how that came
out. That's so cool.
Yeah, and I loved it.
David Alan Moore's and Someone to Kiss and Keep Your Blue Jeans On. And that very rare quote from him came from when he visited Jimmy Carper on his show After Hours in June of 2000. You can listen to After Hours on KPFT every Saturday night from midnight to 4 a.m. And as Jimmy Carper likes to say, it's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to remind you to check out my website at www.queermusicheritage.com. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience.
This is Doug Stevens, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
I'm going to devote the next part of the show to covering three artists who are not known for their gay country recordings. They were on the so-called gay country circuit, traveling the U.S. and Canada, performing in clubs and rodeos. And one of the best known is Jeff Miller. He's also affectionately known as the John Deere Diva. I think he has a terrific voice, and one of his specialties is parodies of country songs. But before we get any further along, I want you to hear a little of his version of a George Strait song. You'll know it immediately. It's from a cassette tape Jeff released in 1988 called Not Really Straight.
He was so much like a man, but he was so much like a child. The devil when he held me close, an angel when he smiled. He always held it deep inside, but somehow I always knew. He'd go away when the grass turned green and the sky turned baby blue. Baby blue was the color his eyes, baby blue, like the Colorado skies, like a breath of spring he came and left, but I still don't know why. So here's to you and whoever holds my baby blue tonight.
Jeff has lived in Nashville for a number of years and is one of the few openly gay country singers there. And that's not always an easy thing to be. Jeff, what's it like being an openly gay artist in Nashville?
Kind of tough. Just simply from the fact that even though some label people will take you seriously, they just realize that there's like a glass ceiling, you know, that you're not going to rise above. So they're kind of wary about putting any kind of money into you. But it's a cool place to live. I mean, it's the center of the music universe. So whether you're gay or straight, it's a great place to network and connect with other people. It's just amazing the number of gay musicians I've met here, famous or otherwise.
where did you get the name John Deere Diva?
That's from RSVP Cruises, because for anyone that's ever appeared on a cruise ship, they're absolute, well, the older ones, which is what we were on, are just a nightmare to try to do a sound check on, because with all the metal, everything is just bouncing all over the place. And I've always been pretty picky about my sound. Actually, Ann Hampton Callaway is the one who nicknamed me that.
How would you describe one of your shows?
One of my shows? Don't bring mom and dad, because you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. both from the standpoint of what I say in between songs and the songs themselves. I've got a background in improvisational comedy and stuff like that, so I can tend to be kind of wicked sometimes. Which is why I get so many hosting jobs doing stuff like IML. And
yes, that must serve you pretty well for that.
All the leather stuff. Yeah, it does. And then it helps me with my writing, too, because, if you've heard my parodies, they're kind of witty and...
Edgy,
yeah. I'm always wary about when I get booked for like a pride festival or something, and there's going to be kids and dogs and PC lesbians around, you know. Do they know what my music is like? Because sometimes I just have to hold back, because it's a little crude for some audiences, but you know, in a club situation or whatever, it's just the ticket.
One of Jeff's edgier parodies is called A Little on the Leather Side.
A Little on the Leather Side. That song is just a riot to do at leather events. And I'm not a leather person, but in the gay community, I've always thought that the cowboys and the leather crowd were, you know, a real close...
complimentary.
...family tree. You know, I have a great time doing that song, and you know, it reminds me a little of my family experience too. You know, where I'm talking about my mom walking in, and there's a queen in your king size bed. You know, that's kind of true.
Yeah, I was raised in a country redneck kind of style. My taste in music and dates drove my folks half wild. Mom and Dad had a plan for me. It was to find a wife and raise a family. But I like my men hot and I like my music loud. Yeah, I like my men just a little on the leather side. When they wear their chaps too tight and my hands I tie. Too much latex and too much glue. Gets me excited, makes me feeling confused. Cause I like my men just a little on the leather side. Should have seen the look on the faces of my dad and mom. The first time I decided I was gonna bring one home. I was in the bathroom shaving, mom came in and said, "Son, there's a big old queen in your king-size bed." I said, "I know, Mama. Ain't he cool? That's the kind I dig. Cause I like my men just a little on the leather side."
When they wear their... Well, you can't buy that recording. At least not yet. It's only available on a demo CD that Jeff put together in 2000. And another song I especially like from that disc was Half a Man.
Half a Man is kind of cool in that one of the major studios here in Nashville, or one major label, Arista, actually had me under a kind of like an artist development thing. They were actually giving me tour support and lots of other support on a corporate level. And they had cut that song on a brand new artist named Shannon Brown. And one of the gay heads at the label thought that that would really be fun sung by a guy too. So they said, you know, let's have Jeff do it. And I did. And it's kind of fun hearing that by a guy.
Sexy eyes, tall and dark, I know what I like. A heart of gold, brain to match. Ain't gonna settle for less than that. 100% love it. Maybe it's all or nothing. Half a man ain't enough.
I'm going to pause and say that sometimes when I produce these shows, I do two versions of them. One for airing on Queer Voices on KPFT, and the other for uploading to my website. While it's a bit more work, I do the second version because sometimes there's a song or two I had to cut for time reasons that I just thought people would want to hear as part of whatever feature I was doing. And the other reason is if a song would not be in compliance with FCC guidelines. This is one of those times. And Jeff Miller has a number of very interesting and very fun songs I want to share with you, but only on the internet version. You have to listen from my site, www.queermusicheritage.com. And since you are listening from the internet, let's get to those songs. Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
Just No Lube is I think one of the better written songs that I've done, just because it's so cohesive, and it just is. Most of my songs, I strive for little snippets of gay life. They're just little things that are experiences that we go through, and that particular one, you know, it's about coming home with a really hot guy and having no lube around the house, and you're trying to substitute all these household products with disastrous results. And I think most gay guys have been there, and actually a lot of straight guys. And it never fails to just get a great reaction anytime I sing it.
I couldn't believe it was happening as we pulled into his drive. There I was, one-on-one with this gorgeous guy. Things got hot and heavy and our chemistry was hot. But quickly as it started, things came roaring to a stop. Ooh, no lube. We both stared at that empty tube. I thought that he would cry. He said, I really want you up my butt, but just can't take you dry. I told him, just relax, you're tired enough here as it is. It's nothing that a little creativity can't fix. Ooh, no lube. Got some Crisco, gave it a try. Corn oil dripping down his thigh. Nice and slippery, here we go. Right away the condom broke. Another condom, try again. Same result with spray on Pam. Nothing can destroy a mood like no lube. He said, hold on a minute as he searched under the bed. But dust, loose change, and dildos was all he found instead. So we headed to the bathroom, got some shampoo off the shelf. But every time that boy would fart, it looked like Lawrence Welk. Ooh, no lube. Boy, I miss them good old days. Just some spit and plow away. Vaseline, elbow grease. So easy then to pound a piece. Nowadays it's water-based. Dental dams and playing safe. Nothing can destroy a mood. He said, hold on, don't break a sweat. There's lots of stuff we ain't tried yet. Suntan lotion smell real neat. The melted latex instantly. Liquid soap, shaving gel. Just made his butthole burn like hell. I had enough, and I got dressed. When he came in with turtle wax, I said, hey boy, you gone too far. I draw the line at shit for cars. Next time out, be prepared. So you ain't getting anywhere.
That's just kind of my style, is I try to write little snippets of gay life, and some of them are based on personal experience, like the rewrite that I did of Garth Brooks' Ain't Going Down When the Sun Till the Sun Comes Up, which is called Always Going Down When Things Come Up. It's about picking up truck drivers at rest stops, and that's based on all the first-hand recollections of one of my best friends who specializes in doing that, and that song is hilarious, but it's all true.
On the bed, trying to get the look just right. Next one out that's always lucky, black and ripped and way too tight. Laces up in jack boots, looking sleazy, is the same as daddy time. Looking fine, hunting truckers is his game. At 9 o'clock, the rest stop's empty, looking down the road, dejected. High time he's anticipating, but he just can't stand the waiting. Soon he hears that sweet, sweet sound. 18 wheels are gearing down. Man climbs down, looks around. Stevie's heart begins to pound. Headed to a well-worn path, followed by his trucker man. It's wham, bam, thank you, man. Trucker's on his way again. Always going down when things come up. Never will deny that he is a slut. On his knees so much, sir, always got his touch. Always going down when things come up.
And I should mention that that song and the next three are demos, so are not going to sound like studio recordings. Jeff, what song is your biggest crowd pleaser?
That's a tough one. It's got to be between No Lube and Something in Black, just because they're just so raucous. I mean, you can hear a pin drop when I do those songs, because people are listening to every single word I do. I mean, I've so many fun songs, but those are definitely the two most popular.
And wait till you hear Something in Black. You'll recognize it as a cover of the Lori Morgan song, Something in Red, but with a huge difference.
I'm looking for something in black. Something to keep me pinned down on a rack. Big straps to hold, my legs way up high, my asshole all primed up for every hot guy. A night full of ecstasy, flat on my back. I'm looking for something in black.
Surely would do. He'll stand me spread eagle
true. I'm looking for something in blue.
So pleased to have been able to share that one, as it's one of his most requested live songs. Before I let you hear Jeff's answer to the next question, I want to give you some background about the person involved. In early 1995, country singer Ty Herndon had a number one country hit with his song, What Mattered Most. Here's just a bit of that song.
I thought I knew the girl so well. She was sad, I couldn't tell. I missed the point, I missed the signs. So if she's gone, the fault is mine. I know a whole lot of little things. Them one by one, she would still be gone. Her eyes are blue, her hair is long, at 64, she was born in Baton Rouge. Her favorite song was in my life, I memorize her every move. I knew her books, her car, her clothes, but I paid no attention to what mattered most.
Okay, now it's June of 1995, and Herndon pulls what you might call a George Michael. He was arrested in a Fort Worth park for allegedly exposing himself to an undercover policeman. Of course, that story was ripe for a song parody. Which song's gotten you in the most trouble?
Most trouble. Oh, Lord. Oh, that's actually an easy one. God, what did I call it? It's called What Mattered More is what I called it, and it's a parody of Ty Herndon's What Mattered Most, and I rewrote it as a parody about what happened to him in that park in Texas that day.
Oh, I love it. I want to hear that.
It is an absolute screamer, because it's really funny, and it's the actual truth of what happened, you know, not the glossed over version. And I wrote that and then performed it in a club in Nashville where there were a lot of music industry people there. This was like 2 days after I wrote it. In fact, I wrote it kind of with that in mind. And they were coming up to me afterwards, you know, going, that is so hilarious. We have to have the lyrics to that. And I gave a couple of them the lyrics, and that was the hot topic on the fax machine on Music Row. The next day, it was just hilarious. I mean, nothing really bad happened. It's just a lot of people that didn't know who I was knew who I was after that.
Did you hear from him?
No, I know Ty. And in fact, his nickname for him is Big Trouble. And if he knows about the song, he has never said anything to me about it. So that's a good thing, because I never told him I did it, and it was, that's, I kind of want to leave it that way.
I would imagine he's heard.
It wouldn't surprise me, because I've been performing that one for a while, and that's always kind of fun, because for people that are in the know on the music business about what's going on behind the scenes.
I thought I knew that park so well. I drove real slow, horny as hell. I passed this hump, no shirt, great smile. Followed me to the old wood pile. I said, I bet I know you ain't into little things, but it's your lucky day, 'cause I got a big surprise for you. I said, I just might have one too. I pulled it out, stroked it hard, it didn't more. I said, will this big boy do? He seemed impressed, so let me see. Now if I brought along some loot, he put some handcuffs from his pants. I said, how did you know I was into that? He said, they're real. Started crying, knew I was dead. You gotta let me go. You gotta understand. If you only knew just who I am. You said, I know, I know. You're doing our show for the police. Since I've seen your show, hell, I can save me $30. Son, you've just been fucked. I pulled it out, stroked it hard, ten or more. I said, will this big boy do? He seemed impressed, so let me see. Now if I brought along some loot, handcuffs from his pants. I said, how did you know I was into that? His chest was nice, his ass was tight. Next thing I know, he's reading me my rights. I can't believe this happened to me. I just went in the woods to pee. Now I'm in jail, my cellmate's cute. Oh my God, what will I do?
Okay, let's get back to the main interview. When I was talking to Jeff, I realized that this was a unique opportunity to ask about some of the other acts on the gay country circuit, because their history has not really been captured. And one of the ones that I can remember seeing was Dina Kay, and I'll let Jeff tell you who she is.
Dina is one of the first national acts on the gay country music scene, as a woman artist. And actually, she is the only national touring act we ever had that was female. Just a little bundle of dynamite, and in a marketing bonanza. She sold so much stuff after her shows.
Well, I'm glad you can tell us about her, because I really wanted her to be part of this story.
She should be. You know, some of the stories and stuff that I've seen on gay country music history have not included her. She's one of the biggest trailblazers and definitely one of the most successful artists that we ever had. It was a riot when we would play double bills, because we often would sing duets together. And Dina, if you've ever met her, is about 5'1", if even that, and I'm 6'6". So the two of us on stage together were quite a sight. But we sounded really good together, and I just love singing with her.
Her recordings are very rare, and I didn't own any, so I was pleased Jeff was able to loan me one of her cassettes. It's called He's Fine, and was from around 1991. Cover versions were very popular on the country circuit, so here's a quick medley of four from that release.
I've got a story to tell, would you mind listening? I could always count on you, we're such good friends. And I need to talk about my situation, and you're the only one who'll understand. Now someone's got designs on my baby, she's making her intentions very plain. We both know this old gal that I'm talking about, but I don't want to mention any name. There goes my heart again, here comes the hurt back in. You think I've learned by now to let you go, with just one look from you. When it's on the mend, there goes my heart again. Why'd you come in here looking like that, in your cowboy boots and your painted on jeans, all decked out like a cowgirl's dream? Why'd you come in here looking like that? There's a dance we do in Oklahoma, a dance like you've never seen. Sit back,
you mentioned that you and Dina Kay were some of the earlier people touring. Who else was on the gay country circuit?
The earliest ones were Rod Henry, who was a Texas guy, who was touring around the same time Dina first got started. And actually, I think he had a lot to do with her getting started. And it was always hilarious because every time I would see him play, he had like this 10 by 20 foot Texas flag that was the backdrop of his show. So, and he was just skinny as a little rail. But he put on a good show. And then Dina, of course, inspired me and got me out there on the road. And then a couple guys by the name of Sid Spencer and Freddie Birch were also doing quite a bit. I mean, all of us worked not only the U.S., but we were touring Canada pretty regularly.
What do you think is your contribution to our music history?
Just being out there and having a good time at what I did. I think I wrote some good music, and people always had a great time at my shows. And I think that's my job, is to entertain people and leave them smiling and leave them laughing and wanting me to come back. And I mean, I can't tell you the number of people that have come up to me after a show and said, you know, I had no idea this kind of music was even out there, or that there were people like you even doing what you were doing. And thank you for coming to our city. Because, you know, some of the places I played were just tiny little clubs, like up in Butte, Montana. I mean, tiny little club, you know, a very redneck town, and, you know, great response. I mean, people were driving in from 60 miles to see the show. and that just blows me away when I hear comments like that. And you know, I'll pour my heart out on stage if I do anyhow, but you know, even more so in situations like that when I know how difficult it is, you know, to be gay in places, especially like that.
Before we leave Jeff Miller, I want to share with you one more of his songs. He does a very fun version of I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart.
I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart, that is the song that I would really love to do if I ever get a chance to sing on the Opry. I've actually appeared on the Grand Ole Opry as a dancer, but not as a singer. And it's always been my great dream to do I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart on the Grand Ole Opry. It's just such a jumpy, peppy song. It was Patsy Montana's big hit and the very first million-selling hit ever for a female artist. And it's just so fun to hear a guy do that, especially with the yodeling, which I just love to do.
I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. I want to learn to rope and ride. I want to ride on the plains and the desert. I wish to the great divide. I want to hear them coyotes howling. Well, the sunset's in the west. I want to be a cowboy sweetheart. The life I love the best. Adio, lady, adio, 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 the wind in my face, a thousand miles from Mountain City lights, go at a cowhand's base. I want to pillow my head near the sleeping herd while the moon shines down from above. I want to strum my guitar.
You've been listening to the internet version of the show, which is split into two sound files. Please continue listening by clicking on the second file.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston 90.1 FM, and Galveston 89.5 FM.
You heard Jeff Miller mention Sid Spencer as one of the artists on the gay country circuit. Well, Spencer is one of my favorites. It's tragic that he passed away from AIDS in 1996, because I think he was one of the best, with one of the best voices. His career was much too short, but in the mid-90s he released three albums in about 3 years, and his family released sort of a greatest hits album after his death. His first album was called Lovin' Strangers, and then came a Christmas album, Family Ties. 1995 brought, I think, his best one, Out and About Again. On that album he started singing songs that were lyrically gay. And what a treat it was to hear a voice like that singing to a man. I have often wondered what he would have gone on to create. By some stroke of luck, I got to see him perform only once, and it was a fluke. I was at the local country dance bar in Houston, the Brazos River Bottom, and it must have been a weeknight, as the place was almost empty. They announced a surprise guest, and Sid Spencer came out and sang a few songs. I'm guessing that he was passing through and just stopped by and asked if he could sing. He came across as charming as he was talented. I'll never forget it. I'm pleased to share two songs with you from his Out and About Again album. First is a cover version of a Tim Menzies song called You Gotta Swim. Sid changed the pronouns on that one a little, and I'm following it with my personal favorite, one he wrote called All I Can Handle.
Me and Bill, Bobby and John, came pole fishing in Guthrie's pond. It was red hot in that July sun. They stuck around, back of me, picked me up and then counted three. I went head over heels, last thing I heard. You got to swim, come up for air, try to get another breath. No time to him, how about how, you ain't ready yet. Whether you fall off a bridge, or jump off a cliff, walk off a plank, or even if somebody puts you in, you got to swim. Oh,
song. He said, let's walk down by the pond, a little fresh air and that silver moon. Sitting on the pier, next thing I knew, all wrapped up in a kiss or two, I went head over heels. Swear somebody said, you got to swim, come up for air, try to get another breath. No time to him, haw, haw about how you ain't ready yet. Whether you fall off a bridge or jump off a cliff, walk off a plank, or even if somebody pushed you in, you got to swim. You got to swim, come up for air, try to get another breath. No time to him, haw, haw about how you ain't ready yet. Whether you fall off the bridge, jump off a cliff, or walk off a plank, or even if somebody pushed you in, you got to swim. Time for me. Any more than that, and I get confused, and I don't need any help, you can see. If we're thinking the same thing, you might be right. I don't know, we'll see. One man is all I can handle. You might be the one for me. Well, I've traveled all over the country, but I ain't found the right one yet. Been looking high and low, boy, don't you know? I can't wait to get you along. One man is all I can handle. It's one at a time for me. Any more than that, and I get confused, and I don't need any help, you can see. If we're thinking the same thing, you might be right. I don't know, we'll see. One man is all I can handle. You might be the one for me.
Late great Sid Spencer. As I said, he died of AIDS in 1996 at age 28. The next year, his family released a retrospective album called Chasing That Neon Rainbow. His albums are a little hard to find, but I recommend any of them. For the next two country songs, I'm going out of the country, to New Zealand and Canada. The Top Twins have been a national institution in New Zealand for many years, even having their own television show, and they make good music, like this one from their 2001 album, Grass Highway.
My mind is focused on the microphone. My sister on the other hand a bad girl. She gonna sing the blues. Mm-hmm. Okay, mama, where you go? There's a rainstorm in the middle of the day. It washes all my fears away. And a big red sun keeps all my blues away. In the garden house, I used to beat up all the boys.
That was Big Ol' Moon by the Top Twins, and after that was a group I just discovered from Canada, the Janewanes. They've now split up, and their only album came out just last year. From Cowboy Songs, you heard a bit of Women's Prison. And here's another foreign country act, this time from England. And this act's lyrics can get explicit, so only my internet listeners are hearing these next two songs. The group was called the Well-Oiled Sisters, and they can get down and get dirty. Again, that was the Well-Oiled Sisters with It Ain't Hard Being Easy and Dirty Cowgirls. Those two songs came from their 1994 album, Alcohol and Tears. Another Western act I like is led by J. Bird Hosh. From her album from last year called The Family Album is A Cowgirl's Love Song.
Yodelay, 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 hee-hoo. See that cowgirl over there, the one with the golden hair. She is looking mighty fine to me.
going right from Jay Bird Hosh to a comedy duo known as Chandler and Ripley. Their 1994 release, I Survived a Femme, offered a spelling lesson.
She walks with her hands in her pockets and a confident air. She laughs with her head flung way back. She runs her hands through her hair. Well, I see her out walking or standing there talking in her boots and her faded blue jeans. I don't know about you, but she's the best thing that I've ever seen. E is for darling, I love you, could you be mine? Y is you are driving me out of my mind. K is for kiss me, never forget me, I'll go to the end of the
And they spelled out the title of the song, D-Y-K-E. That was Chandler and Ripley. Another fairly new artist is Matthew Heath Fitzgerald out of Oklahoma. He's released 3 albums already in just the last 3 years. From his live album is the song, Pour Me.
How about some drinking music, y'all?
Pour me, pour me, pour me, pour me another shot of whiskey. And hit one more time. He left, I cried. I'm lost inside, I want to help me. There's two times for the hit on this time. Don't want to listen to your jukebox. Don't you put no colors in the slot. Don't want to talk and don't want to dance. Things you ain't looking for romance. Don't want to hang out with the crowd. Don't want to party and get real loud. Believe me when I tell you that I thought this through. There's only one thing that I want you to do. For me, for me, for me, for me another shot of whiskey. Bartender hit me one more time. Yeah, I cry, I'm lost inside. Oh, won't you help me? Fail to the top, could hit my bottom this time. Come on, y'all. Here's my story, sad but true. So many things that I never knew. He loved to party and he loved to dance. He loved to get loud every time he had the chance. I always thought he was a simple-minded Okie. Little did know he was the king of karaoke. He's everything that a man should be. The problem was that it wasn't with me. For me, for me, for me, for me, another shot of whiskey. Bartender hit me one more time. I'm lost inside, oh, won't you help me? Feel it to the top, cause hit rock bottom this time. Come on and feel it to the top, cause hit rock bottom this time. Once more, just feel it to the top, cause hit rock bottom this time. For me, for me, for me, for me.
From the CD, Matthew Heath Fitzgerald, Live. For the last year or so, I've been reading about efforts to get on television a show called American Pride. It's to be sort of an American Idol-type show, with the goal being to find the best gay male country singer. They've even got a website, AmericanPrideTV.com. 2 of those slated to be contestants are Matt Albert and Brian Glenn, and if their talent is any indication, I can't wait for the show. Here's Matt singing a little of What Took You So Long.
It ain't that hard to get through to me. You always said I was thin-skinned, but I was so damn shy, and you were so taken. Now I've forgotten just what made us take the chance. What took you so long to find my number? What took you so long to say my name? What took you so long to figure out you missed me? No, I never wanted us to say goodbye. It could be raining all day with the sky dark as night, but all I can see is the beautiful light of your crystal blue eyes since you've come into my life. Each step I take's like a walk in the park. I've got this perpetual smile in my heart.
And after Matt Albert, you heard Brian Glenn with My Whole World Is Falling in Love. Both artists plan on releasing their first albums this year. Another new country artist on the scene is Kitty Rose, who calls her style classic country. You'll soon see why.
Well, I knew you were waiting at the top of the stairs while I was fumbling for my key. And I
That was Kitty Rose from her debut album that she called, with tongue-in-cheek, Greatest Hits. Back when the website mp3.com was a haven for independent artists, I happened onto the music of Lindsey Wildheart and the Amazon Range Riders. With a name like that, how could they miss? And I thought they were excellent. At that time, artists on the mp3.com site could release albums, and the site would press them up. Lindsey Wildheart and the band had two of these, containing only three or four songs each, and I was able to download four more songs from their page. So in pieces, I think I have all 11 of the songs they recorded. Here's a bit of two I especially like, Amazon Range Riders and Tell Me Not to Go.
There once was a time when I was a young one, when I used to think highly of cowboys and friends, and then popped a question into my
Yippee-yay, hey, get down.
the range is ours too. Is it always, always, always has been? Tell me not to go, and it will echo in my heart as I go falling into traps I set so long ago. Listen as the steel teeth slam shut. I am bleeding needlessly with once again a self-inflicted fiction of my own. I try to read you, but the moonlight upon your face is distracting me.
I just love that last one especially. Lindsey Wildheart and the Amazon Range Riders from around 1996. Now, you know I couldn't do a country show without Mark Weigel. I've been a fan of his since his first album in 1998. And while not really a country artist, there have been a number of classic country songs spread out over his five albums. His first album, The Truth Is, gave us two of what I consider essential songs, Two Cowboy Waltz and One Less Dancer.
Well, Two Cowboy Waltz is about the first time I went into a gay country bar and saw guys dancing together arm in arm. I had grown up listening to a lot of country music. My older brothers were into the Outlaws, Waylon Willie, Merle. My parents listened to Ray Price, Eddie Arnold, those guys. So, and then when I grew up and came out, all I heard in the gay community was dance music, which never really moved me. So, again, the first night I walked in and saw these guys dancing together arm in arm to Rose-Colored Glasses and these great old songs, it's quite a moment for me. And went home that night dreaming about cowboys, and Two Cowboy Waltz came out of that.
Four cowboy boots gliding on air, turning and turning while I stand and stare at the two cowboy walls, at the two cowboy walls. Grace and dignity so hard to come by that I stand in rapture as I watch them dance by. In the two cowboy walls, the two cowboy walls.
One Less Dancer is sort of the continuation of the Two Cowboy Waltz story, in that after that first fateful night at the Rawhide 2, I spent a lot of time there, learned to dance, and actually wound up DJing there for a while. Made a lot of friends, and this was in the early 90s in San Francisco among gay men, so I also lost a lot of friends. And One Less Dancer was written a couple years after the Two Cowboy Waltz about the Rawhide 2.
All of the
circles we've made of this room, and all the songs that we've made them to, they still go around my mind like the twirling blue slow waltz lights, with the one less dancer waltzing through tonight. There's one less dancer tonight. So when you take your partner in your arms, hold him tight. Left early till he left us for good. He'd be here tonight, and he should. The man asks if I dance and if I'm alright, as the tears come up in my eyes, I say, I'm just watching. There's two less dancers tonight.
When Mark released Out of the Loop, his cover CD in 2002, one song he picked was What I Like About You.
What I Like About You is, of course, a big hit for Trisha Yearwood. It's a great two-step. I did my cover CD different, the same couple years back, and I've just always loved that song. It's rare to find an upbeat, especially a love sort of relationship song, that's sort of real about love and relationships, and this one is just so gutsy.
Bringing us up to date, Mark's just released a brand new double CD called Soul Sex. That's basically split into songs that you can play on the radio and songs that you just can't. From the first CD, called Wrestling the Angel, is the beautiful song And I Love Horses.
I know I am blessed as we race across this land. The wind is in our noses and the leather's in my hands. I love the smell of sagebrush in the rain. I love that I can tell the season by the range. I love the land that's been shaped by nature's forces. I love my men and I love horses.
And the second CD, called Versatile, is full of the edgier material, addressing many areas of gay sexuality that most people don't want to openly talk about, much less sing about. I give Mark a lot of credit for braving to go there and to do it so well. A couple of country-flavored songs are included, like this gem called These Lips of Mine, Made for Sucking You.
Well, These Lips of Mine actually was the first song I wrote in about 20 minutes driving up Highway 101 here, the first of the sexual tunes. It actually kind of covers a lot of ground. I mean, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek pointing out the hypocrisy of this religious zealot, sort of fundamentalist Bible thumper who's, you know, got a big hot thing for bondage and being tied up and servicing.
I learned why the good Lord gave me rest when he slapped those handcuffs on. And I praised God he gave me teeth to get your zipper down. And as my mouth begins to water, I know that it's true. These lips of mine were made for sucking you. Polishing your belt buckle is what my forehead's for. My ears are here for you to grab, my knees to scrub your floor. As my eyes begin to water, I know that it's true. These lips of mine were made for sucking you. Down, put my belly on the floor. I found why the King of Kings gave this poor boy a back door. As my O-ring starts to stretch in, I know that it's true. All my lips were made for sucking you.
I give thanks and praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Almighty, for what I'm about to receive.
Okay, of course, it's only my internet listeners that got to hear that last one. Again, that was Mark Weigel from his new CD, Soul Sex. I can't leave out Mary Gaucher, although her music walks a fine line between folk and country. She's had four albums and just gets better and better. Her second album was good enough to win a Glamma Award for Best Country Recording in 2000. So I'm going to share just a little of the title track, Drag Queens and Limousines.
I hated high school. I prayed it would end. The jocks and their girls, it was their world. I didn't fit in. Mama said, baby, it's the best school money can buy. Be strong, hold your head up. Come on, Mary, try. I stole Mama's car on a Sunday. I left home for good. I moved in with some friends in the city, in a bad neighborhood. Charles was a dancer. He loved the ballet. Sold pot and red Cadillac. Hemingway. Drag queens and limousines.
Mary Gaucher and Drag Queens and Limousines. Her new album is called Mercy Now, and I think it's terrific. I had a chance to interview her recently, and the way she talks about her songwriting is just fascinating. And I invite you to listen to next month's Queer Music Heritage to hear about it. While I talk us to the last act on tonight's show, I'm going to feature in the background a little Cajun music, as that form of country music is also ably represented in our community by the group Les Femmes Danseuses. And this one's from their album from 2003 called Femmes. Their two albums contain several songs with female-to-female pronouns, or I should say, femme-to-femme pronouns, since they're sung in French. Okay, for this show, The History of Gay Country Music, Part 2, we've just plumb run out of time. Before we get to the last two artists, I want to thank you all for listening, and to thank Jeff Miller and Mark Weigel for their interview comments. Jeff was especially helpful in getting me the music of Dina Kay, Brian Glenn, and Freddie Birch to add to this show, and I appreciate him sharing with me all those unreleased demos of his own material. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com, and I wish you would. I mentioned earlier that my internet version of this show is longer than the radio version, because I could just not squeeze into 1 hour all the great music I wanted you to know about. Okay, I got a little carried away. The internet show is over a half hour longer. Sometimes it's just too hard to cut those artists and songs when you're trying to show the best of queer country music. It's nice that I had the luxury of a big website as an alternate outlet. And that, of course, again, is at www.queermusicheritage.com. I'm closing the show with a truly unique act, and I've seen them many times. You can hear an in-depth interview with them on my August of 2001 show. Their names are James Dean Jaybird and Stephen Cheslick DeMeyer, better known as the duo Y'all. Between 1993 and 2002, they released 7 recordings that are a very humorous cross between folk and country, and their live act is a riot. Sadly, they stopped performing a couple years ago, but the good news is that a musical documentary has been made of their travels, touring in their little camper, and the film was called Life in a Box. A soundtrack that will be sort of a career retrospective will be released soon. So, from the duo Y'all, here are two of my favorite of their songs, My Man, Our Horses, and Me, and You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man. Gee, I started the show with a Conway Twitty song, and I'm ending it with a Loretta Lynn song. You can't get much more country than that. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for joining us, and join us again next week for lots more fun and excitement. Same time, same channel. And don't forget to bring Grandma next time. And would somebody please say howdy to Uncle Joe for me? Thank you.
We're riding home upon our horses. Well, I'm sitting side saddle, of course. My man is riding straddle saddle. He sits upon his favorite horse. Her name is Wendy, but she don't blow. She's got black polka dots, and in her tail a satin bow. We are so happy to be a country family. My man, our horses, and me. My man, our horses, and me.
Bring it down, fellas.
My man, our horses.
Come tell me something new.
You say I ought to know that he don't love me anymore, and I'll have to let him go. You say you're gonna take him, but I don't think you can, 'cause you ain't woman enough to take my man. Women like you, they're a dime a dozen. You can buy him anywhere. For you to get to him, I'd have to move over, and I'm gonna stand right here. We'll be over my dead body, so get out while you can, 'cause you ain't woman enough to take my man. Take it, Steven.
Sometimes a man's caught looking at things that he don't need.
He don't say, well, he took a second look at you, but he's in love with me. Well, I don't know where that leads you, but I know where I stand, and you ain't woman enough to take my man. Women like you, they're a dime a dozen. You can buy them anywhere. For you to get to him, I have to move over, and I'm gonna stand right here. Well, it'll be over my dead body, so get out while you can, 'cause you ain't woman enough to take my man. No, no, you ain't woman enough to take my man.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Queer Iranian and Malaysian asylum seekers stay in limbo. Ukrainian MPs disparage perversion propaganda. And two-spirit people gather media savvy. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Donna Ann Ward.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 8, 2008. Gay and lesbian refugees seeking asylum in countries safer than their homelands have increasingly been in the news. An Iranian lesbian who fled to Britain after her girlfriend was arrested and sentenced to death faces deportation after losing the latest round this week in her battle to be granted asylum. 40-year-old Pigah Imambakhsh came to the UK in 2005, soon after her partner was arrested by Tehran police. Iranian queer rights groups have reported that she is in custody under sentence of death by stoning. That case follows growing public outcry over the plight of a gay Iranian teenager who fears execution if he's deported. 19-year-old Mehdi Kazemi came to London to study English in 2004, but later discovered that his boyfriend had been arrested by the Iranian police, charged with sodomy, and hanged, but not before giving Kazemi's name to authorities during what was probably harsh interrogation. Kazemi fled to the Netherlands after the British Home Office refused him asylum last year. Dutch judges will decide this month whether, under European Union treaties, he should be returned to Britain. In rejecting both asylum applications, the British Home Office said that Iranian gays and lesbians aren't persecuted if they're discreet about their homosexuality. A rationale first put forth, then reversed by Dutch authorities dealing with Iranian refugee cases. International protests are calling for a similar moratorium in Britain on the deportation of Iranian gay and lesbian asylum seekers.
A gay Malaysian man was to have been deported from Canada this week after being refused refugee status. At last report, he was still asking the federal government to intervene. Kulantiran Amir Talingan made a last-ditch appeal to Immigration Minister Diane Finley this week, asking her to stay the March 6th deportation order. Homosexuality is a crime in Malaysia, punishable by up to 20 years in jail. Kulin, as he's known to his friends, says that he fears for his life if he's sent back to Kuala Lumpur. He said Malaysian police detained him for 5 days and verbally and sexually abused him. But he lost his refugee status case because the Canadian immigration judge was not convinced he's gay. The Malaysia coordinator for Amnesty International Canada, Margaret John, told reporters that it's not clear whether Kulin's life is at risk, but certainly his right to freedom of expression is at risk, she said. He may be charged with being a homosexual, he may be fined, he may be imprisoned.
And we've reported in recent weeks on the cases of two gay Jamaican refugees also seeking asylum in Canada. Homosexual acts are punishable by up to 10 years in prison at hard labor in Jamaica. And political, church, and cultural homophobia have made life increasingly dangerous for the island's LGBT people. International activists have recently suggested a tourist boycott to prod the government of the Caribbean nation into improving conditions for gays and lesbians. But JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals and Gays, that country's LGBT rights group, has cautioned against such a boycott. In a statement released this week, the group said that, "In our battle to win hearts and minds, we do not wish to be perceived as taking food off the plate of those who are already impoverished. In fact, members of our own community could be disproportionately affected by a worsened economic situation brought about by a tourist ban." The group said it appreciated international support and sought constructive interventions that both make our case for human rights protection and minimize risk to our physical and material well-being.
A leading queer activist group in the Ukraine is appealing for international support in the face of new attacks on LGBT rights. Formerly a part of the Soviet Union, the Ukraine decriminalized homosexuality and established an equal age of consent in 1991. But the socially conservative country has no specific protections for LGBT minorities and is politically dominated by an affiliate of the Russian Orthodox Church. A parliamentary committee this week urged the state to take steps to fight homosexualism, lesbianism, and other sexual perversions which do not correspond to moral principles of a society. MPs from the governing party have charged that propaganda and expansion of homosexuality in the country form a threat to national security, contradict national interests, and undermine the authority of rights and freedoms of human beings and family. A statement issued this week by Nash Mir, the country's LGBT rights group, said that, in their opinion, freedom of speech and human rights belong only to the heterosexual majority of the population. While the Ukraine continues to seek membership in the European Union, critics have questioned its commitment to human rights.
But Argentina's new president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, supports the legalization of same-gender marriage, at least according to the president of the National Institute Against Discrimination, Xenophobia, and Racism. Noting the passage of a divorce law under the previous administration, the Buenos Aires newspaper Clarín asked Maria José Lubertino in a February 24th interview, "Will Cristina's accomplishment be gay marriage?" Lubertino responded, "I have no doubt. If they didn't want me to advance this issue, they wouldn't have put me in charge of the Institute."
In U.S. queer couples news, the California Supreme Court held a more than three-hour hearing on March 4th in a challenge to the state's ban on same-gender marriage. Several consolidated cases involve almost two dozen couples from various parts of the state. They were represented by Lambda Legal, the American Civil Liberties Union, and the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Their attorneys argued that denying gay and lesbian couples the right to marry violates equal protection provisions of the state constitution. Deputy Attorney General Christopher Krueger, representing the state of California, said that the definition of marriage is so deeply ingrained in tradition and law that only the legislature or voters have the power to change it. And attorneys for two conservative groups also opposed to marriage equality addressed the High Court, arguing that keeping marriage exclusively heterosexual furthers the state's interest in procreation. They also claim that California's domestic partnership laws prove that same-gender couples don't face discrimination. Some analysts said that comments and questions by three of the court's seven justices during the hearing suggested that they would uphold the state law defining marriage as exclusively heterosexual, while only one indicated that lesbi-gay couples should be granted marriage equality. The other three justices asked questions critical of both sides, so the vote could be close. The court has 90 days from the March 4th hearing to issue a ruling.
The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court, that state's highest court, struck down laws banning same-gender marriage in 2003. And in 2004, the first gay and lesbian couples began to wed. Since then, more than 10,000 queer couples have married there. And as the only U.S. state to enact marriage equality, Massachusetts is reaping huge financial rewards, according to a report this week in the Boston Business Journal. The state, it said, has become a powerful lure for same-sex couples who want to live in a place where they can get married, gain legal rights, and have access to spousal health benefits.
Washington's Democratic Governor Christine Gregoire is expected to sign new legislation expanding the state's domestic partnership law. It would provide more than 170 additional rights and responsibilities that married couples already have. The legislation had passed in the House and passed the Senate this week on a 29-20 vote. The 200-page bill was sponsored by Senator Ed Murray and Representative Jamie Peterson, both Democrats, and two of five openly gay members of the legislature. The original domestic partner law was enacted after the state Supreme Court in 2006 upheld Washington's so-called Defense of Marriage Act that limits marriage to heterosexual couples, but it said that the legislature could overturn that law or amend it to include same-gender couples. The new legislation makes domestic partnerships equal to marriage in areas of community property, guardianship, and powers of attorney. It would allow people the right to refuse to testify against their same-gender partner in state court. And it provides the same remedies as married couples in ending a relationship, including the division of property. More than 3,200 domestic partnerships have been registered with the state since the law took effect last July. Only three have been dissolved, according to the Secretary of State's office.
And finally, the Associated Press's David Bowder reported this week that the love affair between two young men on the venerable CBS TV soap opera As the World Turns has triggered a protest campaign by angry viewers. But it's not the sort of protest you might expect. Gay fans of the fictional romance between Luke and Noah are upset because the two characters haven't kissed on screen since September. As the World Turns had the first gay male character in daytime drama in 1988. Last August, it featured what is believed to be the first time two gay men kissed on a soap when Luke surprised Noah with a smooch. They kissed again in September, as Noah was still coming to grips with being gay. Fans first sensed a pullback around Christmas during a tender scene where the two men proclaimed their love for one another. It seemed clear that they were about to kiss, but the camera instead panned up to focus on some mistletoe, reminiscent of an infamous, never-seen gay male kiss several years ago on the primetime soap opera Melrose Place. Valentine's Day featured fantasy sequences involving several As the World Turns couples. All the stories ended in a kiss, except for Luke and Noah's. They hugged. That's when fans started complaining in a letter-writing campaign and an online petition. There's even a website that counts the days, hours, minutes, and seconds since Luke and Noah last locked lips.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 8th, 2008. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Donna Ann Ward.
And I'm Rick Watts.
Award-winning, best-selling author Jim Hightower is described as America's most popular populist. He's releasing his book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, live and in person at Landmark's River Oaks Theater in a benefit for KPFT on Wednesday, March 19th at 7 p.m. To purchase tickets, visit kpft.org or call us at 713-526-4000. Prices are $10 in advance, $15 at the door, $5 for students with photo ID. Also, if you'd like a chance to speak with Jim personally, $150 will get you entrance to a private meet and greet event with Jim running from 6 to 7 p.m. just before the evening's activities, and that includes an autographed book, appetizers, and preferred seating at the book reading. River Oaks Theater is wheelchair accessible. This event is a fundraiser for KPFT Houston. Y'all come.
First Church is proud to announce the personal appearance of Leonard J. Pitts, Jr., Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist and author who will be speaking in Houston on Saturday, March 29th. Pitts writes for the Miami Herald, and his columns appear in the Star section of the Houston Chronicle every Monday. He expresses a very progressive attitude towards many subjects, such as social justice, equality, and politics. In partnership with St. Paul's United Methodist Church, this event is being presented as a major fundraising effort for First Church and is supported by the Church's Adult Programs Committee. More information regarding time, location, and ticket sales are online at firstuu.org. If you are unfamiliar with Leonard J. Pitts' writings, you may enjoy his column every Monday in the Houston Chronicle Star section or online at miamiherald.com. Call 713-526-5200 or visit firstuu for more information. KPFT, Houston.
Thank you. I believe I'll go back home. I believe I'll go back home. Lord, and nodded to my good gal, mama. Lord, and I have done you wrong. All in the church bells calling, yeah, man, on one Sunday morning. Boy, that's no Pokemon. All in the church bells calling, on one Sunday morning. All in some old dirty deacon, come and run that bell so my gal is gone. Hey, Pokemon. Lord, I woke up this morning with my paw kind of business in my hand. Yes, I woke up this morning with my paw kind of business in my hand. Lord, if you can't send me no woman, please send me some sister man.
Don't you just love those old blues lyrics? Someone stole his girl, and he woke up with his pork grinding business in his hand. So he says, Lord, if you can't send me no woman, please send me some sissy man. This is Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and this is another one of my deep history shows. To give it a concise title, I'm calling it Queer Blues, and I'll be taking the music of gay, lesbian, and bisexual blues artists from the mid-1920s and stopping just past Stonewall in 1970. Now, that first artist, at least as far as I know, was not gay, but his song Sissy Man Blues was a good way to start off. His name was Kokomo Arnold, and his version of the song was recorded in January of 1935. As he wrote it, I'm giving him credit for likely having the first version of it, though I also have the song by several others, including Josh White. That song is a natural lead-in to one of the oldest songs I'm playing on this show. Ma Rainey was known as the mother of the blues, and in 1926, she recorded a song called Sissy Blues. We'll pick up the song at the second verse.
Will I have
Now, if you had a little trouble understanding the lyrics on such an old recording, here are the main plot points. I dreamed last night I was far from harm, woke up and found my man in a sissy's arms. Some are young, some are old. My man says sissy's got good jelly roll. My man's got a sissy, his name is Miss Kate. He shook that thing like jelly on a plate. Now all the people ask me why I'm all alone. A sissy shook that thing and took my man from home. Ma Rainey and Sissy Blues from 1926. But she had another recording that is perhaps the most famous early queer blues song, and it's one of the very first that is lyrically gay, or in this case, lyrically lesbian. This song has been covered many times over the years, but of course I'm bringing you the original. From 1928, Ma Rainey and Prove It On Me Blues.
When I last night had a great big fight, everything seemed to go wrong. I looked up to my surprise, the gal I went was gone. Why she went, I don't know. I mean to follow everywhere she goes. Folks said I'm crooked, I didn't know where she took it. I want the whole world to know. This day I do it, ain't nobody caught me. You got to prove it on me. When I was last night with a crowd of my friends, there must have been women, cause I don't like no men. It's true, I wear color and a tie, make the wind blow all the while. Cause to say I do it, ain't nobody caught me. You got to prove it on me.
I just love that line. Went out last night with a crowd of my friends. They must have been women, because I don't like no men. That was an abbreviated version of the song. I wish I had time on this show to play the complete songs, but I want to introduce you to as many of these early artists as I can. And you may ask, how can I say artists from so many decades ago were gay, lesbian, or bi? Well, from researching old liner notes, books, and the internet, I found many references to back up the inclusion of these artists on my show. And this next one is certainly no exception. You do a Google search on the name Bessie Smith and the word bisexual, and you'll get over 28,000 hits. Noted jazz journalist and record producer Chris Albertson wrote perhaps the definitive biography of Bessie Smith. He interviewed her niece Ruby Smith in 1971 and got these comments about Bessie and the subject of Buffet Flats.
Bessie had a party up there at this woman's house. It was right near the jailhouse there in Detroit. And Bessie, that's where the faggots used to dress like women there, and it wasn't against the law, you know. That was an open, real open house for everybody there in that town. And that's where, I told you, they had that party that time, and I went to it. Bessie and all of us went to the party, and they... And all of us got so drunk there at that house, that some house, it was a friend of Bessie, some woman had a house there, a buffet flat.
There's a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat.
What was a buffet flat?
A buffet flat is nothing but faggots and bulldaggers and open house. Everything goes on in that house.
But I mean, it was strictly a gay place.
A very gay.
Yeah. And it was strictly for faggots and
everything. Everything that was in the life. Everybody that's in the life.
Why was it called a buffet place?
Buffet means everything. Yeah. Everything goes on.
Mm-hmm.
They had a faggot there. It was so great that people used to come there just to watch him make love to another man. In them days, they only had them working in there that could draw money, you see. They had to pay as they come in. You know the buffet flat. They pay as they come in. You have to pay to go in. And they have shows, and every room is different. Two women going together, a man and a man going together. And anything that you want to see is in that place. And if you're interested, they'll do the same thing to you.
Let's hear Bessie sing a little more about those buffet flats.
As a lady in our neighborhood who runs a buffet flat, and when she gives a party, she knows just where she's at. She gives
Yahoo! Bessie Smith and those soft pedal blues from 1925. Also from 1925 is Ethel Waters and her song, Dinah. No, that really wasn't one of her more bluesy songs, but lyrically, I just couldn't resist picking that one. Ethel Waters was perhaps the first black superstar, famous for her work in nightclubs, Broadway, radio, and films, being only the second African-American nominated for an Academy Award in 1949. Her signature song was Am I Blue? Up next, if ever there was a blues artist who personified the image of the Bull Dyke, it was Gladys Bentley. She weighed around 250 pounds and performed in her trademark tuxedo and top hat and openly flirted with the women in the audience. There's not a lot of her catalog that's been reissued on CD, but here's a little of one of her songs called How Much Can I Stand.
Ain't foggies in the morning, foggies when the sun goes down. Ain't no foggies in the morning, foggies when the sun goes down. weeping willow swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Weeping willow swaying, moaning in the weary pine. Three nickels from my quarter left me with a lonely town.
Gladys Bentley from 1928 with How Much Can I Stand. And as Gladys Bentley was a Bull Dyke, here's an artist singing about them. Lucille Bogan recorded between 1923 and 1935, and many of her songs were lyrically raw, like one called Shave 'em Dry. I won't be playing that one. Many blues artists in those days, in order to get around recording contracts, would record under other names. Around 1932, Lucille Bogan began recording under the name Bessie Jackson, and under that name gave us the song B.D. Women Blues, with B.D. referring to Bull Dykes, or more colloquially, Bull Daggers.
I'm in a time, B.D. women, they gonna need no me.
Yes, those B.D. women can walk and lay their jive just like a natural man. Bessie Jackson and B.D. Women Blues from 1935. Now, before you think I'm only playing women blues singers on this show, I'm going to introduce you to Frankie Half Pint Jackson. Called Half Pint because he was only 5'2" tall, Jackson often performed comedy songs and songs as a female impersonator. He took the role of a woman in the songs, providing lots of sexual double entendre, with songs like this one from 1929, Operation Blues, where he's playing a woman patient.
Doctor,
I'm right in. What's your trouble?
Oh, Doctor, I think I've got
tinnitus.
I need operation right there. Oh, don't
say it right there. I can see right now. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
You what? Now, don't get fresh, Doctor. I'm a married woman.
I can see right now, madam. You've got to take off all of your clothes.
Oh, I understand,
Doc. Oh, come on.
Oh, I see. You know what I need.
Yes. Better than anyone knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, oh, what's that you got, that doctor? What's that you got holding in your hand?
What about that? You are the doctor.
Yeah, but a woman knows, doctor. Please tell me, what's all of that you got there holding in your hand?
Quiet.
What is it?
That's nothing but my two money.
Huh?
Can't you understand?
Oh, I understand.
Why?
All right.
Now, be real quiet, madam.
And what must I do?
Lay flat on your back.
Oh, this way, Doc.
No, just kind of raise that left leg a little.
Oh, now, I see.
Now, be right quiet, madam.
All right, ma'am.
Lay flat on your back.
I'm a girl now.
All right. All right, Doc.
But if you hurt me, Doctor, I swear I ain't never coming back.
I...
Also from 1929, Here's a bit of a not-so-subtle one called My Daddy Rocks Me with One Steady Roll. The lyrics from this point pretty much just repeat themselves, except that he takes two instrumental breaks complete with simulated sex sound effects that are actually very amusing. That was Frankie doing guest vocals on a track by famous blues artist Tampa Red. Before I leave the 20s and 30s, I've got another artist who dabbled in female impersonation, Billy Banks. His band, the Rhythm Makers, included some early jazz all-stars like Eddie Condon, Pee Wee Russell, and Fats Waller. For 1932, here's Billy and the Band with Oh Peter.
Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, too, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh Peter, call around tonight. Oh Peter, you're so nice, it's paradise. When you're by my side, that's when I'm satisfied. Come on and kiss me, dear, and hug me tight. There's nothing sweeter, Peter, Peter. Call around tonight, oh, call around tonight.
Another woman blues singer who was rumored to be lesbian was Alberta Hunter. Her career began in the 1920s, and she achieved much popularity until she retired in the mid-1950s. That retirement lasted for over 20 years until she started singing again in 1978, and again gained much acclaim, performing up until her death in 1984 at age 89. From 1940, here's a bit of her singing, I Won't Let You Down.
So you say you're gonna leave me, that you're absolutely through. If your mind is made up that way, there is nothing that I can do. Just remember these words. You want my love someday. I gave you my affection. You shared everything I had. I double-crossed my poor old mother, gave a night to my dear old dad. I was just your slave. I loved and worshipped you.
Alberta Hunter from 1940, and we're in the 50s now, with an openly gay artist who was idolized by Little Richard, and who helped Little Richard get his first recording contract.
I know what love is, but
very nice. That was Billy Wright with the song You Satisfy, one of his first recordings and first successes, done for the famous Savoy record label in 1950. It was Wright who got Little Richard, then Richard Penniman, to come to Atlanta, where he did his first recordings. And Wright, with his big hair, heavy stage makeup, and gospel-styled blues shouting, no doubt influenced Little Richard. We'll hear more about Little Richard in a little while. But first, this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. And for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's Queer Radio with Attitude.
Oh, I wake up in the morning, put on my wig, slip on my hose, and I do a little jig. I got them drag queen blues, mama, haunting me night and day. Oh, yeah. I got them drag queen blues, mama. You better stay out of my way. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, I...
No, that isn't an old blues song. It's a recent one called Drag Queen Blues from drag queen superstar Hedda Lettuce. And it's the perfect intro for these next three artists. This first recording is quite obscure. I found it on a CD by 50s orchestra leader Tiny Bradshaw. He recorded for the King record label out of Cincinnati, and singing lead on a couple of his tracks was a female impersonator named Little Tiny Kennedy. From 1952 is Newspaper Boy Blues. Kennedy, backed by Tiny Bradshaw and his orchestra. And here's another interesting female impersonator, Billy McAllister. He is probably much more known for a comedy album released in 1972 called What a Big Piece of Meat. That was put out by producer Rudy Ray Moore, who found much success in the 70s by issuing very X-rated comedy recordings by himself and a stable of others. But I only recently discovered that Billy McAllister's career goes back 20 years earlier. In 1952, he recorded at least four songs for a Memphis label, and the song I picked is interesting because it obviously was recorded as a female impersonator, because it is sung to a man. Its title, 31 E Blues, refers to his trip down Highway 31 to Nashville in search of his lover man.
Well, I'm gonna change 31 E, going down to Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee. Well, I'm looking for my lover, man. Please, somebody tell me where he can be.
Even more obscure than Billy McAllister was female impersonator Patsy Vaudelaar, and historians can't even seem to agree on her last name. I've also seen it given as Vaudalia, Vidalia, and Valadier. At any rate, for a couple of decades, she was the star of the famous Dewdrop Inn in New Orleans. In 1953, Mercury Records recorded several New Orleans artists, and Patsy traveled to Los Angeles to do two songs. One of them was right from her stage repertoire, Keep Your Hands on Your Heart, which was a hit in 1950 for Billy Wright, who we heard earlier. As legend has it, when she sang that song live, she instructed the men in the audience to put their hand over their crotch. Here's Patsy Vaudelaar and Keep Your Hands on Your Heart.
Yes, and your mind on me. No, I love you, baby, and I don't care where you might be. Yes, when we first met, it wasn't but us two. Now, trying to make it three. Sway, pretty baby, you can't do that to me.
We're going to take a break from those female impersonating blues singers to go to a rough and tough woman artist, Big Mama Thornton. Rumored to be lesbian, she's mostly known to the general public today as the artist who first recorded the song Hound Dog. She had an R&B hit with it in 1952, but of course Elvis had a huge hit with the song 4 years later. Here's the original.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Big Mama Thornton and Hound Dog. Let's see if you can recognize this next artist. Quite recognize him? He first recorded in Atlanta in 1951 and then toured all over the Southeast, playing Nashville, New Orleans, and so forth, landing in Houston in 1953, where he recorded that last song, Directly From My Heart, for the Peacock label. That contract really didn't work out, so in 1955 he moved to the Specialty Records label. Still don't know who he is? Well, you probably are much more used to hearing him sounding like this.
Wah bam loom bam 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 to the boom. Oh, to the boom. Oh, to the boom. Oh,
Yes, that was Little Richard. And of course, the song Tutti Frutti. There's an interesting story about that song. In 1955, specialty records producer Bumps Blackwell was sent to New Orleans to record Little Richard, and neither he nor the band knew quite what to make of him. As he came into the studio wearing a loud shirt, his hair waved 6 inches above his head and talking wildly. They took a break from the session and went over to the Dewdrop Inn, where Richard was no doubt more at ease, and he started joking around with the crowd, playing one of his favorites from his stage show. It had lyrics like Tutti Frutti, Good Booty, and If It Don't Fit, Don't Force It, You Can Grease It, Make It Easy. The impact on the crowd was the energy they needed to capture in the studio, though they wisely cleaned up the lyrics. Little Richard became a genuine pioneer of rock and roll. I recently contacted Little Richard, and he found time in his busy schedule to take a couple questions. Little Richard, you've gotten a lot of attention lately with that Geico TV commercial. What did you think when they first contacted you to do the commercial?
Whoa, look out, look out!
Your career has certainly had its ups and downs, and I imagine that applies financially as well. What has been your normal approach to finding work?
Help me! Somebody help me!
Finally, many rock artists have lived by the credo of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What has been your personal credo?
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce! Woo-hoo!
I'm not even going to ask. Okay, now that that little diversion is over with, I need to mention another artist who went by the name Escarita. He was a friend of Little Richard's and no doubt influenced him quite a bit, if only in his stage presence, as he wore heavy makeup and 2 wigs, piling his pompadour even higher than Richard's. Here's a clip of an interview where Little Richard talks about Escarita.
I was taught how to play piano by Escarita and a fellow by the name of James.
So the influence of Escarita on Little Richard, or vice versa, is really there. It's
definitely. Yeah, the piano.
Tell me about him.
Strange.
Because a lot of people compare you
to. Strange, Roger. He was inspired by me to be in show business, but I was inspired by him because when I first met him, I met him at the bus station. One night I couldn't sleep in my hometown. I would sit there all night and watch people get off the bus. You know, you understand. And everybody's going to. And he got off. I said, oh, boy.
We have a picture here. Let's hold that up to the mic so our listeners can see it.
And you look at this picture and you say, that's happening now. The high top pompadour.
He really got his hair. The book made a mistake there. He really got his hairstyle from me. And Doc, you know, that was a mistake. He got his hairstyle from me.
That's right.
But he taught me how to play piano. He was playing One Mint Julep.
Right.
By the Clovers.
Right.
And it's. And I just love. I said, oh, boy, if I could just do that. Not knowing that one day I'll be doing it, you know. So I picked it up and carried it out.
Now, the New Orleans influence on your music is obvious.
Oh,
it's
heavy.
Very, very heavy.
Very heavy.
Were you listening to that music when you were a kid?
Gumbo got me.
Here's Escarita with a bluesy song from 1958 called Just Another Lie. That was Escarita, who sadly died of AIDS in 1986 at age 47.
Ain't you fine gal, buddies and your pals, down in New Orleans, on the street they call a foul, down at the Dewdrop Inn. You meet all your fine friends.
And I just couldn't resist one more quick listen to Esquirita singing about the Dewdrop Inn. That venue's popped up several times on this show already, with more to come.
I've been down all my life, and in so much misery. Yes, I've been down all my life, and in so much misery.
We're still in the 1950s, and it's time to tell you about Bobby Marchand, another artist who performed as a female impersonator. In fact, in 1953, he organized a troupe of female impersonators called the Powder Box Revue. And when they toured through New Orleans, he decided to stay, sometimes performing at the Dewdrop Inn. At that time, Patsy Vidalia, who you heard earlier, was master of ceremonies at the Dewdrop, and there just wasn't room for two drag divas, so Bobby assumed the same duties at the Club Tijuana. It was there in 1956 that Johnny Vincent, the owner of Ace Records, saw him and signed him to a record contract. Vincent had no idea that Bobby Marchand was not a real woman, and he still didn't a couple days later when Bobby came to the studio, again in drag. The band was cracking up when Vincent was finally told. That didn't discourage Vincent from promoting Marchand, and his first record for Ace was the one you've been hearing, Poor Pitiful Me. However, it wasn't until he was teamed with Huey Piano Smith that lightning struck, and they had a top 10 hit in 1958 with the song Don't You Just Know It. That song was released as by Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns, and Bobby Marchand was lead vocalist. Marchand had a long career, recorded on quite a number of record labels, and performed until the year of his death in 1999, at age 69. By far my favorite of his songs was one that was a number one R&B hit in 1960, and I can't resist playing the full version on this show. Here is There Is Something on My Mind.
Something is worrying your troubled mind. There is something on your mind. By the way you look at me, oh,
know, it's so hard to be in love with someone. It's so hard to be in love with someone that don't love you. And it carries a heavy burden on your heart to know that the someone they love is your very best friend. I tell you, when somebody else is rocking your cradle better than you can rock your cradle yourself, there's only one thing left in this world for you to do. Pack your clothes, turn around, walk slowly out the door, look over your left shoulder, hang your head and say, if you ever think about me, if I ever cross your mind, girl, girl, if you ever think about me, pretty baby, if I ever cross your mind, oh yeah, well, you know, I know you're mine. After you can't stand it no more, you go downtown to the pawn shop and get yourself a pistol. And then you make it back up on the scene where your loved one and your best friend are now together. You go right in and bust down the door and shoot him. You can't shoot her because you know if you shoot her, all of your love and your long lifetime will be gone forever. And just as you make it up in your mind to forgive her, here come another one of your best friends through the door. This really makes you blow your top. And you go right ahead and go and hurt her to your heart and shoot her. And realizing what you've done, you say, baby, please, forgive me. I'm sorry. And with her last dying breath, she looks up at you and say, do-do-do-do.
What a drama queen. And again, that was Bobby Marchand. And by now, you might be developing the impression that most of the early gay male blues singers were female impersonators. And I think that would be incorrect. Because, think about it, we only know about the ones who were visible. In those decades, sexuality, especially the homo variety, was not much openly discussed. So mostly, only if the singers were open about it, as in while doing female impersonation, would gayness even be considered. And of course, just because a performer did do female impersonation didn't mean they were gay. But gee, I think it mostly did. We're going to take this show's only trip out of the country for this next act, and it seems fitting we pay respect to it, as it was a pioneering band in the history of blues music in England. I'm talking about Blues Incorporated. Their 1962 debut album was called R&B from the Marquee, and according to one article I've read, it was a watershed moment in British music history, opening the floodgates to the British blues boom and influencing countless groups like the Stones, Animals, and Yardbirds to add their own touches to American blues. One of the main vocalists for Blues Incorporated was Long John Baldry. Baldry himself was very influential all through the 60s and 70s, helping to start the careers of Rod Stewart and Elton John. An album he and Stewart produced together, called It Ain't Easy, in 1971, yielded Baldry's most known American hit with Don't Try to Lay No Boogie Woogie on the King of Rock and Roll. And Long John Baldry was openly gay, even in the 60s. By the way, before you start guessing, he got his name Long John because he was 6'7" tall. You've been listening to a bit of Five Long Years from his 1965 solo album, Long John's Blues. But I want you to hear a bit of a track from the 1962 Blues Incorporated album, and the one I've chosen is How Long Blues. John Baldry singing lead on How Long Blues from the Blues Incorporated album R&B at the Marquee from 1962. I'm down to the last song, but before I get to it, I want to thank you all for listening. And you can hear this show anytime, along with seeing photos of the artist's recordings at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. This show has been about early blues by gay, lesbian, and bisexual artists from the 1920s up to 1970. And I'm going to end the show with a very bluesy artist who came upon the music scene in the mid-60s with a career that burned fast and hot, going out abruptly with her drug overdose in late 1970 at age 27. I'm talking about Janis Joplin. She had much album success with the San Francisco band Big Brother and the Holding Company, and as a solo artist in 1970, she was working on her next album. She died before it was finished, but enough of it was done to enable that album, called Pearl and released the next year, to become her biggest selling album, with her biggest single, Me and Bobby McGee. From that same album, I'm closing the show with her bluesy cover version of the 1963 hit by Garnett Mims, Janis Joplin and Cry Baby.
Award-winning, best-selling author Jim Hightower is described as America's most popular populist. He's releasing his book, Swim Against the Current, Even a Dead Fish Can Go with the Flow, live and in person at Landmark's River Oaks Theater in a benefit for KPFT on Wednesday, March 19th at 7 p.m. To purchase tickets, visit kpft.org or call us at 713-526-4000. Prices are $10 in advance, $15 at the door, $5 for students with photo ID. Also, if you'd like a chance to speak with Jim personally, $150 will get you entrance to a private meet-and-greet event with Jim running from 6 to 7 p.m. just before the evening's activities, and that includes an autographed book, appetizers, and preferred seating at the book reading. River Oaks Theater is wheelchair accessible. This event is a fundraiser for KPFT Houston. Y'all come.
First Church is proud to announce the personal appearance of Leonard J. Pitts, Jr., Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist and author who will be speaking in Houston on Saturday, March 29th. Pitts writes for the Miami Herald, and his columns appear in the Star section of the Houston Chronicle every Monday. He expresses a very progressive attitude towards many subjects, such as social justice, equality, and politics. In partnership with St. Paul's United Methodist Church, this event is being presented as a major fundraising effort for First Church and is supported by the Church's Adult Programs Committee. More information regarding time, location, and ticket sales are online at firstuu.org. If you are unfamiliar with Leonard J. Pitts' writings, you may enjoy his column every Monday in the Houston Chronicle.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.